Fleet Week might seem like the Bay Area's most visible and audible nod to the military, but if you really look around, remnants of the Bay's long military history are all around us. In the barracks of the Presidio, on the shores of the Bayview Hunters Point shipyard, and in the water itself. If you drive north over the Benicia Bridge, off to your right, you'll see a fleet of giant ships in Suisun Bay. They first arrived in 1946 and continued coming in over the following decades. In theory, if the Navy ever needed extra ships, they'd get them from this reserve fleet.
In a general way, the solution is to keep the ships and work out a method of keeping them with the fewest men and least money. Of course, a few of them can be scrapped, but only the obsolete ones. A great many remain, good ships, worth hanging on to.
That's from a film made by the U.S. Navy in 1945. But it turns out the Navy has not needed them. And over time, the fleet's become a graveyard that needs a lot of upkeep. In 2007, an environmental group sued the government over the condition of the fleet, and in 2010, they won. Now, almost all of the mothballed boats are on their way out. And as they go, so will a hefty part of the Bay Area's naval history. KALW's Ashley Ann Krigbaum snapped on a life vest and went out to Suisun Bay to find out just how soon the ships will leave and what exactly they'll leave behind.
The Allied Expeditionary Naval Forces execute their mission to assure the safe and timely arrival of troops, weapons, supplies. A mission which will have a profound effect on the history of man.
The biggest job at Normandy wasn't just putting the soldiers there, it was resupplying them.
This is Captain Patrick Maloney, and his ship is the SS Jeremiah O'Brien. It's a United States Liberty ship that served the merchant marines during World War II, delivering supplies to Normandy during the D-Day invasion.
We talk about the teeth and the tail. The soldiers at the front are the teeth. Well, this ship carried the tail.
These days, though, it sticks a lot closer to home as a floating museum docked at San Francisco's Pier 45.
The O'Brien was the first merchant ship to be saved as a memorial. She steamed out of the mothball fleet under her own power, the only ship ever to do that.
The mothball fleet is a collection of old warships that have had a retirement much less active than the O'Brien. For the most part, they've been docked idly for decades in Suisun Bay near Benicia. Maloney spent over 12 years on them back when they were still sailing.
I've served on 24 ships, commanded 13. The ones up in the mothball fleet were the Telugu, the Mispillion, the Haciampa, the Kawishui, and the Ponchatoula.
Maloney remembers each of those ships individually, like old friends. He even knows exactly where they live now.
A number of ships up there. I had four of them in G row and one in F row. One of them, the Haciampa, which is the closest one to shore. If you pull into the overlook, she's the one you'll see. I spent 5.5 years on her, 4.5 in command. It hurts to see her there just, you know, wasting away. It really hurts to think about having her scrapped.
On a Monday morning, Joe Pecoraro and I board a small boat in Suisun Bay and head out to the mothball fleet.
Over here is G-Row.
Pecoraro is the fleet's superintendent. He's maintained the ship since 1991.
There's only 4 ships left on it, and the outboard ship here is next on the list to leave.
We head into the row, and there, right where Captain Maloney said it would be, is the USS Haciampa, creaking away out on the water.
It gets a lot quieter up on deck on a day when there's not a lot of wind and not a lot of wave action. It's very still and quiet.
The ships are massive, most stretching over 500 feet in length. They weigh anywhere between 5,000 and 20,000 tons, and that's without cargo. From far away, they look noble and intimidating, and undeniably powerful. In reality, the majority of them aren't going anywhere unless they're tugged out.
Yeah, I used to dislike that word, mothball fleet, but it's akin to, you know, like you're going to put clothes away for a long time, and you put mothballs in it. to keep the moths from, you know, from eating it up.
Long-term storage has its risks.
Lead, cadmium, zinc, chromium.
Michael Wall is a senior attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council, or NRDC. In 2009, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration found all those metals Wall just listed in shellfish and other species near the ships. The likely culprit is the lead-based paint flaking off the ship's exteriors. The paint was actually
designed to kill aquatic species that adhere to the hull, and this paint was just sloughing off into San Francisco Bay in massive quantities.
At least 19 tons by 2007. The levels of toxicity around the ships weren't that much higher than other parts of the San Francisco Bay, but they were significant enough that the NRDC filed a lawsuit against the government and won. The Federal Maritime Administration has done a lot to clean up over the past 3 years. Over 300 tons of hazardous paint has been removed, and the ships in the worst shape are gone.
So the fleet is in much better condition than it was, and the Maritime Administration should be commended for cleaning it up and getting its house in order.
Keeping that house clean is a full-time job. Actually, quite a few. As Pecoraro and I head back toward shore, we pass the fleet's main offices, which are floating at the end of a long dock several hundred feet from the fleet. The dock buzzes with workers in union suits and hard hats, electricians, crane operators, riggers, mechanics.
Each ship has a flooding alarm. Once a month, those have to be tested.
Electricians come out monthly to inspect the fire alarms. Another crew checks the ship's moorings, anchors, and chains every day. And the whole time, someone has to make sure the insides of the ships stay dry so the mothball fleet doesn't mold.
That's pretty much an average day in a nutshell.
28 ships are left for that crew to maintain. 18 will be scrapped over the next couple of years, including 5 that will be gone by the end of this year.
Okay, practical lesson here. You're on a ship.
Back on the Jeremiah O'Brien, which is still in working order, Captain Maloney is giving me a lesson.
In case you lose your balance and pitch forward, the strong part of your hand is holding you instead of little fingers.
Most ships in the mothball fleet will take one last journey, a 6,500-mile trip from San Francisco through the Panama Canal and finally to a scrapping facility in Texas. Not the O'Brien, though. Captain Maloney's ship will be making a different journey, an 11,000-mile round trip to Normandy to celebrate the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
You know, that's a warm-up cruise for 2044, going back for the 100th anniversary. And actually, I'm starting to make noise now about, D-Day plus 75, that's pretty good. But Pearl Harbor Day is coming up in 2016, Pearl Harbor plus 75. Let's go to Hawaii.
The O'Brien seems to be able to go anywhere. But for Maloney, it can't quite replace the ships that are gone forever and the big empty space they leave behind. For Cross Currents, I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum.